Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies, where we talk comics, where we talk televisual shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason.
It's great to be here.
Sorry for the delay, folks. We're about a day late, aren't we?
Day late, a buck short.
I'm writing the report.
I'm losing. I'm failing.
I'm writing when I move... I'm flailing now.
No, you're misunderstanding. You think that was a cute reference to the Blink-182 song. What I'm saying is I'm actually writing you up.
What
to
for?
To the podcast commission for being tardy on this and you...
To be fair.
James, this is the reason we're not going to be at the Melbourne Podcast Festival. I mean, that reason, but also they emailed us and said, do you want to be on the Melbourne Podcast Festival? And we said, well, think about it. And then we forgot.
No, Claire said, no. And then Claire came back and said, do you want to do this? And I'm like, nah, not really. Not really, to be honest. Maybe we'll do it next year.
I might go.
You should go.
Good podcast.
There's some good shows there.
Yeah.
I think Dugo on are doing some
They're
stuff.
Headlining,
Sandpants,
yeah.
Sandspants are doing some stuff.
Yeah.
There we go. Check it out. Get down there.
I will.
Maybe next year we'll do one. Oh, who cares? Listen, Mason. I feel like
we've been very Melbourne focused. Like all our life stuff has been in Melbourne. But like it's
I kind of feel bad.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, and a lot of the time people are like, yeah, I'm from Adelaide and I came over and I'm like, okay, cool.
No one's coming here at the moment, though.
It's true. But I feel like we were right on the cusp of being like, we're going to go out there and do some stuff.
That was the plan.
Then things got kind of derailed. So
we did talk about how we were going to do like we're doing a sponsorship thing with a travel thing. We were going to go to like New Zealand or whatever. Anyway, that didn't happen, did it?
Anyway, as soon as the borders open, we're going to do a live show in Antarctica.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Just for deranged people who work in like Antarctic scientific research stations.
But they'll be able to watch Black Widow on streaming, Mason.
That's true.
They probably have Netflix there, don't they?
Yeah.
It's on Netflix? Mm. Great stuff. Mason, it's a big show for weeks, week for shows.
Okay, let's say hypothetically there's a weird version of Netflix in Antarctica.
Yep.
Is it all cold shows or all hot shows? Like is it all Ice Age movies or is it all like Volcano?
Or is it that one Ice Age movie where it's summer or whatever?
Oh, yeah. Maybe they'd like that one, yeah, those freaks. Those Antarctic freaks.
I always wanted to go. I feel like though I'd get there and be like, oh, I hate this actually.
Yeah, no, it's
just to see it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Anyway, I've been sick. I'm better now. I'm on the mend.
You're on the mend.
So that's what happened. Anyway, news this week, Mason. We are going to talk about F9, not only the hotkey, but also the movie. We're going to talk about Michael Keaton.
I feel I ask this every time, but what does F9 do?
We
should see what happens.
I'll do Shift F9.
Okay.
Just regular F9 does nothing. Shift F9 does nothing. Control F9 does nothing. Function F9 plays something. I just played something. I'm going to mute that. In case it comes through the speakers.
Well, isn't that just a
Alt F9?
Isn't that just a metaphor for the movie F9?
That's true. Mm. What does it do? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We're also going to talk about some Transformers news.
Oh.
Some Smallville stuff. Mm-hmm. Harrison Ford managed to injure himself yet again.
Because he pushes himself too hard.
That's right. Bloody smoking doobs, am I right, Mason?
You're absolutely right.
The Rock...
I was going to say the reefer, but...
Yeah, sure. Yeah. That is more his era, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
I've had too many reefers, he says.
I've had too many of the reefer. I've had too many servings of the reefer, he says.
So we got a bit more information about the Rock Vin Diesel feud. If you saw that this week.
I did see that, yeah.
Trailers for Halloween Kills, The Harder They Fall, Suicide Squad, and Shang-Chi. And we'll talk about the pronunciation of that also.
Let's do that right now. We thought it was Shang-Chi, but apparently it's not. That's I've been saying Shang-Chi for like 20 years.
Same, but that's what it is. And so that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Unless we forget. But we won't, because we're committed to doing the right thing.
That's right.
Yeah. The other thing is, and then the other thing that I said, isn't it, Mason? Let's kick things off with Michael Keaton was spotted filming The Flash, and he had a little wig on, and that wig looked a lot like Bruce Wayne circa 1992.
So sort of permed.
Yeah.
Permed, but white.
Permed, yeah. So he's got less hair than that real life.
That's true.
But they've managed to age him in a more graceful way than he did in real life, Mason. Is what
absolutely,
I'm saying.
Sure.
They looked at how he looks now and went, this is not a man who could... Potentially, not with.
Yeah,
you need a proper head of hair if you're going to be.
What
Batman.
They would have done is they would have gone, okay, we've got this placeholder art for if we were going to do a comic book adaptation of Batman 89. Mm-hmm. Here's what you would have looked like in the future.
Yep.
And as you notice in this artwork, you look really good.
Yeah.
And now look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Just
Michael Keaton. Look at you.
We've brought you this mirror. It's full length.
That's right.
Just take a good look.
Yeah. It's the Flash branded. It's got the big lightning bolt down the middle.
Do you think this is acceptable? Yeah. Is this how you want to present?
How long have you been in Hollywood and how much surgery could you have gone? But you've chosen not to do any of that. You've let us all down.
You've stayed in reasonable shape, but not enough, quite frankly.
And honestly, you've put the entire production on the back foot and we're mad at you. They wouldn't have done anything like that. They would have been like, oh my God, Mr. Keaton, we love you.
And we're going to put a wig on you.
We're going to put a wig on you because you look bad. You look bad. Yeah.
Anyway, he looks good, genuinely. It's not just the wig. He's a handsome man. I don't mind saying it.
Well, okay, well.
There you go. And there you bloody go, Mason. So I don't know if you've heard this, but the battle on Earth is no longer between Autobots and Decepticons. It now involves Maximals, Predacons, Terracons, because they are joining Transformers Rise of the Beasts in theatres June 24th, 2022.
Now, what is this a sequel to? Is this a sequel to Bumblebee?
Yes.
Because it's set in the 90s, this one.
Yeah, 94.
Okay.
And it's sort of a prequel to the other ones, but also... I thought we established that those weren't connected anymore, or they are. But also, none of those movies themselves are connected.
Not at all. So. Except the villain is always Unicron or something.
Or, no, is it? Once it was.
Yeah.
We didn't see it.
No.
It was in the Earth.
Yeah.
It was in the
Earth. The villain is always a set of interconnecting, like pipes and girders and stuff.
Yes.
You know, with maybe lightning and then there's a voice or something, you know?
And it says, you've awakened me for the last time,
Megatron,
et cetera.
Yeah. And then somebody's like, but I thought I was Megatron. And the girders are all like, no, I'm Megatron, I think. I realized I was killed in the last one, but now I'm an even more powerful Megatron.
How many girders do you think I am?
More than that.
Whatever number you're thinking. Yeah.
Hold up the number of fingers you think are good as I am. No, more than that. I'm more
Double
than
it.
That. Double it. That's right. 8 girders.
What do you think of that, the idea? They're basically doing Beast Wars as well.
Okay, cool, great.
I mean, what else? Like, they've...
Love to see a robot beast transformation.
True.
Very excited.
This is also the
love to see the animal fur get caught in the girders.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
This is Stephen Caple Jr. who directed Creed 2, which I think is a good movie.
Mm.
I think both the Creed movies are good, and he directed that one. It says in our particular film, there are these prehistoric robots that sort of travel through time and space, and we find them here on Earth. And that's all I'm going to say about that. So I guess they're going to take him back because.
Does he mention number of girders?
He didn't mention the girders.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, no, he says whatever girders you're thinking about, double that amount of girders.
Jeez, they're going all in, aren't they?
They're going 8 girders, Mason.
Whoa.
Do you want to explain what's Beast Wars?
No, because this was after my time.
Okay, I'll explain Beast Wars. It's a prequel to the G1 series, sort of, where a bunch of Autobots are looking for the Ark, maybe? Or they're just in the galaxy, but they land...
In the present day?
No, it was when dinosaurs are about.
Okay.
And they land on Earth, and they're like, there's no people here yet. And so they're going to take on the form of whatever's on Earth.
Okay.
And so you've got some mammals, like Optimus Primal, who's a gorilla
but
man.
But my question is, James, there's a character called Optimus Primal, as you've just pointed out. Hasn't he modelled himself on Optimus Prime?
Yes, because Optimus Prime... had already crash landed on Earth prior. They disappeared, and the Autobot arc land.
I guess
because
the origin of the Transformers is millions of years ago. Okay, right.
And they
okay.
have yet to awaken. I think they even find his body at one point. And Megatron is a dinosaur, and it might be the same Megatron. I can't remember.
Nice.
But I think it's implied that it might be. Anyway, here's some other ones.
Imagine how bad my summary of Beast Wars would have been if this is what we're going with. We looked at each other. We had a moment. We're like, who's going to do the best summary of Beast Wars? And it was you, apparently.
Here's who's in it: Optimus Prime, G1, Peter Cullen. He's going to be the truck, the regular, like he was at the end of Bumblebee.
Okay.
Bumblebee
in a prehistoric world.
No, because I think they're bringing them forward to the modern day.
Cool.
Bumblebee is an off-road Camaro. Mirage.
Oh, yeah.
RC times two.
Whoa, so the motorcycle version.
That's right.
Huh,
I presume.
Don't like that.
The Terracon Not-No.
I like the pink car.
The pink
version.
Car, I agree.
Yeah.
From the movie.
Yes.
The Terracon Nightbird. Scourge, who's going to be the main villain? Scourge, yeah. Air Razor, Rhinox, and Optimus Primal, who is a gorilla who looks like Optimus Prime.
Interesting.
He modeled himself up Optimus Prime because he's a weird Optimus Prime weeb.
Yeah, that's
so. He's because Optimus Prime is Japanese.
Yeah.
So again, as you mentioned, set in 1994, it's going to be in both New York and Machu Picchu because presumably there's a. One of the ancient temples opens up and there's a big laser or a robot dinosaur or something. So, but good, honestly.
Or like one of the Autobots is one of those, you know, those monkeys with a big red bum.
Mm.
Yeah. Big red bum bot.
He's just a big red bum. He's flashing his big red bum at us.
It's got a laser.
The noise a laser makes because it's coming out of his bum.
I see.
I'm
just glad to know that your being ill has not dulled your...
My sense of wit?
Yeah, that's right, your razor sharp wit.
So in the show,
yes.
They don't really... I don't know whether this is the limitations of the time. They don't really look like the animals that they're supposed to. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, okay.
So I don't know whether this is going to be a disguise thing whether people think Optimus Primal is actually a gorilla.
Yeah, right.
And also he's like, he's not gorilla size, he's like much bigger, isn't he? Why am I asking you? I'll ask me.
Yeah, ask you.
I don't know.
Check the old memory banks.
I can't remember. But look, I think also one of the producers was like, we've tapped so much into the Transformers lore and we needed to find something new. No, you haven't. You've done, like, some names of some things that were in the cartoons. Uh-huh. But you've done none of the storylines, really, or any to in any depth.
Where's the movie adaptation of that episode where they found the magical golden pool and they became golden Transformers? Do you remember that episode?
Did they get super energon powers?
Yeah, they got super energon powers.
Wow, big gold bums all around.
That's exactly right.
That was what the episode was called, right?
Yeah, big gold bums all around, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what do you think? Excited?
Yeah, sure. Should be fun. Yeah.
Also, next year, apparently.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll see.
John Cena coming back?
Great question.
Isn't it, though?
We'll have to find out. Mm. He might be a G.I. Joe guy, right, also? They're going to blend them.
They could be both guys.
That's what I mean. Cause it was in,
oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, right.
They'll bring him back probably at some point. On Cameo, it was revealed.
Cameo, the service where you ask a celebrity to record a video for you.
For money.
Yes.
It was Tom Welling, and he said, Michael Rosenbaum and I are actually working on an animated series, this is for Smallville, to bring those characters back to life and use as many of the original cast members as possible who aren't in jail. I added that. Tell anybody, though.
Hey, maybe she won't go to jail. She's facing 15 years to life, but, you know, maybe she'll get out of it because she's a celebrity.
That's entirely possible, and I think she's throwing everybody else under the bus, which, to be fair, it's what I would do.
Sure.
But I wouldn't have done the other thing in the first place.
I agree, if we're being fair. Yeah.
And
if you were on trial for that, you could bring me in as a character witness and I'd say I wouldn't have thought he would have done all that stuff.
I mean, he did.
I mean, as far as I know.
Yeah. And I'd say thanks. Appreciate you coming in.
I'd say no problem.
Now I'm off to record with Dave Waterkey, the Weekly Planet.
That's right.
So he says it's a secret, we're still working on it. What do you think about that? So we've had Smallville follow-up comics.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
And they're never going to bring the show back in live action, it would seem. But why not do this?
Cool man.
Mm. Deadline of reporting. This is in relation to the new Indiana Jones film.
Here's the question, though, for Smallville, if I may. Is he going to be in the costume?
Well, he'd have to be, right?
Maybe
if it's
isn't
a sequel.
I mean, the comic book, he's in the costume.
Yeah.
But I mean, maybe there's some weird thing where they're like, if you put it on screen, he can't be wearing the costume, because that was the rule. As we've talked about in small, and when we've talked about smaller episodes, the rule was he could never put the costume on.
I think we're beyond that now, right? I mean, imagine if they did an animated Smallville show as a sequel to the series where he became Superman, and they didn't do that.
Sure.
I mean, they're just taking the piss at that point.
Smallville, my costumes at the cleaners. Yeah, I reckon they might do like the black costume with the trench coat.
Did they already do that?
They'll do it again.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think they're going to go straight into it. Right. I think they saw Invincible and went, yeah, that looks cheap. We can do this.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Deadline reporting.
Go on.
In relation to Indiana Jones 4. In the
you mean 5?
Whatever. Yes, Mason.
Okay.
Yes. That's what I meant
to
say.
We've got some fascinating production news about Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull.
I mean, I just want to forget that bloody movie happened. You know what I mean?
Nice.
Everybody?
Got him.
That was a genuine mistake. in the course of rehearsing for a fight scene, Harris. Oh, this is time codes. You can jump around.
Okay, cool.
Is that what you're going to do? You can't skip this.
No, I can't.
You're in it.
I'm not. I'm well aware.
Harrison Ford sustained an injury involving his shoulder. Production will continue while the appropriate course of treatment is evaluated. And the filming,
reefer.
That's right. How many reefers do you reckon he'll do?
Probably a wide selection of the reefer.
Oh, like a briefcase of reefers?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, yeah. A briefer of the reefer is what they called it in the 70s. If you were at one of those drug parties, they'd be like, oh,
come into our drug party.
We bought a briefer of the reefer, and then you knew it was on.
You knew it was on.
Yeah.
The filming schedule will be reconfigured as needed in coming weeks. This guy has a history of just injuring himself, which I guess most people do as well, right?
Old people, yeah.
They're just inject, but like he was injured very badly in Temple of Doom, so he's mostly not in that movie.
Yeah, right.
He does none of the action in that movie because of an elephant injury or something. He fell off an elephant or I can't remember.
There's only so many ways you can get an elephant injury. He either fell off an elephant or he was trampled by an elephant.
Yeah, I can't remember, but it's something to do with his
back. Or potentially maybe he was on a log and an elephant put its trunk in a bucket of water and drunk up all the water and then shot it at Harrison Ford and he fell off the log. That's the third way you can get an elephant injury.
Those are the three ways. So that's good. But remember Star Wars, he broke his leg.
A door fell on him. Yeah.
He crashed his plane while he was filming something. I can't remember. You know what he's up to.
You reckon maybe his long-serving and long-suffering stunt double has it in for him?
His long-suffering stunt double, Vic Armstrong, has retired.
Ah, okay.
And now he does stunt coordinating.
And attempting to injure Harrison Ford. Like he comes on set to
to beat him up.
To rile up the elephants.
So Vic Armstrong is the guy in Temple of Doom.
Yes.
He does, but he's not in 4. I think he'd been retired even by 4. So anyway, it's not a surprise that this happened because he's a million years old and he's doing stunts still.
Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah.
I just imagine like if my...
do you think because Vic Armstrong's retired, he just has to do his own stunts now? That's why he keeps getting injured. He's like, he signs up to Force Awakens and he's like, you know, if you could talk to production and we could figure out a guy who looks like me and they're like, I'm sorry, Mr. Ford, I don't know if you've checked your contract. You're not allowed any more stunt doubles.
You get one.
You've used them all, so you have to. We're going to drop a door on you.
It's good to get a heads up, I guess.
Yeah.
He got like $5 million or something for that. He got a huge payout. I think someone sued someone and whatever. Huh. Well, he sued.
You got work cover.
Yeah, essentially.
Nice. On the compo, I like it.
On the compo. Why wouldn't you? It shattered his leg.
Yeah,
you should get work cover.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah.
Wink.
No, it fell on him.
Yeah, no,
there's probably footage of it.
Yeah, nice, bro.
Oh,
yeah.
Please. If you've got that footage.
Get on the compo.
If you've got the footage.
Yes.
Give me the footage. I won't even I'll show Mason.
Okay.
I won't show anyone else. I won't even show my wife. She won't care. Just give it to me. I won't release it.
I mean, she would care about your mental well-being if you're like, Claire, look at this. Look at this. And she's like, why is that old man? Why do you have a video of an old man getting a door dropped on his leg? Why are you showing me this? Why are you laughing?
All I'm saying is also, this wasn't what I'm saying, but now I'm saying it now. My dad is in his 70s.
Go on.
If they were like, you have to film an action scene and you have to learn this stunt fight, he'd be like, why would I do this?
Sure, yeah.
And he'd be injured.
Yeah.
You know, these things bound to happen.
Yeah, when you want to get on the compo.
Yeah, mate, get it. And the reefers.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. Doobs up. All right, here we go. This is from Men's Health. This was in relation to the Vin Diesel feud with The Rock.
Okay.
People remember a few years back, there was some real back and forth about their time together on the Fast and Furious movies.
One of them said,
"You're a candy ass bitch," or whatever.
Yeah, and one of them, and the other one was like, "Well, I'll just say that some people on the set of this movie were not." I think Vin Diesel said some people on the set of this movie are not professional, and we were like, "Classic Scott Eastwood."
You said that. I didn't say that.
That's right. I was like, "It's definitely Scott Eastwood."
I think didn't The Rock say that? Doesn't matter. Somebody said something.
Yeah, but then it turned out it was a Diesel The Rock beef.
That's right.
Yeah,
exactly. And they're the same height, aren't they?
That's right.
And built. Yeah. And they're both as strong as each other.
Exactly right.
So this is what Vin Diesel said to Men's Health.
That's what you get at Planet Hollywood. That's one of the meals, the Diesel The Rock beef.
Two equally sized steaks.
That's right.
So he spoke to Men's Health, Vin Diesel, and he said, My approach at the time was tough love to assist in getting the performance where it needed to be. As a producer to say, okay, we're going to take Dwayne Johnson, who's associated with wrestling, and we're going to force the cinematic world audience members to regard his character as someone that they don't know. Hobbs hits you like a ton of bricks. That's something that I'm proud of. That aesthetic, that took a lot of work. We had to get there, and sometimes at that time, I could give a lot of tough love. Not Fanilski. Is that how you say that?
No, you've written Fanilski. It's Fellini-esque. Yes.
I actually wrote it out phonetically, and then I ignored that, and I just went for the other thing.
The thing that you said.
Fellini-esque, because that's like a style.
Yeah, like
filmmaking.
Fellini, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Or pasta, like a Fellini pasta.
Like one you'd get at Planet Hollywood, yes.
But I would do anything I'd have to do in order to get the performance in anything I'm producing. So basically he was saying The Rock needed to bring more acting, and Vin Diesel was going to be the one to get that acting out of it.
That is fascinating.
Does he think that they're not, like, comparable in terms of acting ability? Like, I would even say The Rock is a better actor than Vin Diesel.
When we've recently covered the first three Fast and Furious movies. Vin Diesel didn't return for the second one because it wasn't Francis Ford Coppola-esque enough or something like that. They're just standing on the X and punching each other. That's all they're doing.
Now, you want to get that.
Also, do you kind of feel like if prior to The Rock appearing in Fast 6 or whatever it was, would you have not described The Rock as hitting you like a ton of bricks? Like, that's his whole deal, is hitting people like a ton of bricks.
Exactly.
He didn't need tough love to deliver the appearance of him hitting you like a ton of bricks.
He's also really big.
He's a big man.
You look at him, he looks like a big pile
of
bricks.
It's a big ton of bricks. Yes.
I don't know. I just found that fascinating to be like, we're doing some real acting here and I'm going to get this real acting.
But just to be clear, Federico Fellini.
Yes. Like the pasta.
His distinctive style, according to Wikipedia, blends fantasy and Baroque images with earthiness.
What?
So that's what that's what.
No, I mean, what is it?
That's what Vin Diesel wanted from The Rock's performance.
He just learned that. Like me, he just learned that word.
To blend fantasy and Baroque images with earthiness.
But I'm saying he learned that word recently.
No, I know.
Like I learned that word recently.
Yeah.
We're the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Vanilla squee. Interesting. That's insanity.
It's madness.
To be
right?
Like these are anything other than just bald men slapping each other.
Just branded content in the worst possible way. Anyway, we've got a review of F9 coming up soon. Who knows what we're going to say about it?
That's right. Right after trailers, Mason. Let's talk about them.
It's trailers
ahoy, everybody! Making our way through the fog that is trailers.
That's right.
It's a lot of trailers. I'm the captain. That's what I'm. You could be the captain.
Can you be more specific, Captain?
It's just if you look around.
My God, he's right. Abandoned ship. There's too many trailers.
So you're the captain?
No, I'm just the guy who panics first. That was a mutiny of sorts, I think.
Okay, good, good. Halloween Kills.
It's just me leaping off the boat. Everybody else is like, who was even that guy? I don't know. Did he get on at the last port? I don't know that guy.
Halloween Kills. Did you watch it? Michael Myers is back.
Yeah.
You didn't or you did?
No, I did.
Yeah. There's also a hint that, like, maybe he's supernatural or something.
Yeah.
Because they're like, he's not a man, he's a shape. Get his mask.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, what do you think?
Looked all right. Looked pretty good.
I think it's more like the myth of him than, like, he's literally supernatural. Because that's always been his thing, that he's not a demon or whatever.
Yes, no, you're right. Yes. I mean, to the best of my knowledge,
he's unkillable
Yeah.
They try to ride around. He's not
this
Jason.
This trailer is quite savage.
Mm.
Like, a lot of people are being stabbed through the neck. This trailer is not, unless there's a Green Band trailer where he's just tiptoeing through the tulips. He's just jamming a pipe in somebody's neck, and
he's got a firefighter.
Yeah, he's got a
using the big saw on
him. Giving the old saw heave-ho, yeah.
I used to know the name of that saw. my brother's a firefighter. Maybe I'll ring him. I'm not going to ring him. Maybe you can ring him for me.
Okay.
Okay, good. Yeah, I think it looks good. Yeah. And I thought the last one was pretty solid for a reboot.
I hope there's going to be more podcast stuff in this one.
I agree. Right? Otherwise, what are we even doing?
Exactly.
The dog's trying to get out. I'll just try to let that dog out.
Yeah, let that dog out.
You got to say, who let the dog out?
Who let the dog out? James let the dog out. We're having a great time.
She doesn't really even want to go out. She just wants to poke her nose around and be like, let all the cold air in. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So anyway, The Harder They Fall, coming to Netflix. A Netflix movie that looks like it might be good.
We get a couple of them every year. Based on a true story.
Mm, is it really?
It is. Yeah. One of it's Nat Love, or sometimes he's Nate Love.
Okay.
He's like a real big time, one of the black cowboys. There were many black cowboys in Old West times,
but
mostly you don't see them in anything, really.
Because they're all dead?
I mean, they are all dead.
Oh, you mean like the stories that they tell?
Stories of them, yes. Yeah. But it's him getting his gang back together. And Idris Elba's in this and Regina King.
Damn, look at this cast. Jonathan Majors, Lakeith Stanfield, Zazie Beetz, Delroy. Delroy's in it, mate.
There's a moment in the movie, there's a moment in the trailer where Delroy Lindo goes, "Do you miss me?" And I'm like, I did miss you, Delroy Lindo. Even though you were into Five Bloods like last year, but I still did. It's good to see you again, Delroy Lindo.
It really is, yeah. There you go. That's interesting.
That's real nice.
Oh, he's huge. Delroy Lindo, he's 193 centimeters.
What's that in the old money?
I think it's like 6'4", maybe.
That's quite tall.
It's bigger than us.
Mm. That's bigger than Robert Downey Jr. with his big shoes on.
Coming up, Iron Man 2 next week. We'll talk about it.
Big shoes. He's got big shoes to fill, and he fills them.
Certainly does. Mm. He has to.
Yeah.
Then we got a trailer also for the Suicide Squad again.
Oh, also the director of that movie, The Harder They Fall, Seal's brother.
Yes, we did talk about this. His name's James.
That's correct.
Is that right?
Yes.
James. It's not James, though, but it's pronounced James.
James, yes. James Seal's brother.
James Seal's
brother. He's also a music producer. This is his first movie, but he's also a music producer. He records under the name The Bullets. Sort of after the Steve McQueen movie. So.
Very good.
Yeah.
I did not know that. I didn't even know Seal had a brother.
Now I do.
What am I going to do with this information?
Nothing. There's nothing you can do about it.
Director. Yeah, it says the director is The Bullets. That's the name he always... Oh, it's J-E-Y-M-E-S.
Yes, that's
okay,
right.
Okay, that makes way more sense. Because you got to get that Y in there. That makes sense. The Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I love it. I love the... what's happening in it. I love a little bit of extra lore. I love that it's made some people mad, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Where's that at?
Well, as I understand it, because there's Amanda Waller in this trailer, by way of exposition, says that Bloodsport, he put Superman in the ICU with a kryptonite bullet.
Yep.
Which obviously he did in the comic books in, like, his first appearance.
That came, those appeared almost immediately, those panels.
Yeah. I remember reading that at the library when I was a little lad.
Very good.
That's right.
Excellent.
But people are mad about it for some reason. Mm. Do you think it's because we haven't been shown that, so it's not canonical?
Yeah, right.
Do you think it is... I have an unfinished theory about... big fans of this sort of stuff.
Okay.
Maybe I'll make a video about it one day.
Could you?
Unless somebody's already made the video on the exact same subject.
Actually, I was thinking about making it also, but what's your video about?
Well, my video would be about how a sort of subset of fans of this sort of stuff, and I don't want to be too specific, but some white dudes.
Yeah.
Have all, like, they've all been conditioned, but obviously not all white dudes, but like a certain subset have been conditioned to only be able to enjoy stuff when they can see themselves as the main character.
Right.
And so they're both the main character and also the fans. So they bring they bring to a character, they're Superman, but they're also
big fans of
Superman.
Yeah.
And we've talked about Batman v Superman.
Yeah.
And I've said about that movie, why doesn't Superman just arrest Batman?
Mm.
When Batman is completely at his mercy, quite early on in the film. And it's like, well, and nobody seems to object to that. And I think it's because they're like, well, we know they're going to be great friends later. We know, as fans. So because we're Superman and we're also the fans, we know we're going to be friends later. So
I guess that would have been also more interesting if he like tried to take him in and couldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But see, my feeling about this is that a lot of people would be like, well, obviously I've learned to dodge bullets in Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice.
Yes.
So I would simply not be shot by Bloodsport.
Okay,
see what I mean?
Superman gets shot all the time.
I know.
Or he'll stand in front of a bullet thinking that nothing's going to happen and it's a kryptonite bullet.
I mean, even recently in Superman and Lois, there's an episode where But, and that's the thing, because some people can't imagine a scenario in which Superman is shot by a bullet.
Yeah.
But there'd be hundreds of ways that he could conceivably be shot by a bullet.
Yeah.
Like, and again, in there's an episode of Superman Lois where he's protecting somebody from being shot by a bunch of bullets.
Yes.
And then a couple of them are kryptonite bullets. And because he's blocking all these bullets and he can't leap out of the way, he gets shot.
Yes.
So
what an idiot.
What a dumbass idiot.
He also gets stabbed all the time.
I would simply not be stabbed.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
As someone who is Superman and a fan of Superman, I would do
You would
the
do
same
the
thing.
Exact same thing because you have all the knowledge. You
That's
know
right.
What I mean?
That's interesting. Yeah. Yeah. That's a great video that I'm going to make.
Damn it. But so that's – and like – And I think that's why people, because I think it's because they haven't seen it in a movie, so it's therefore it's not canonical.
Mm.
But also it's again a case of like, well,
I mean, it is though now, isn't
it's
it?
It's canonical now because it's been in the movie. But it's like, well, actually, obviously because I'm super fast and I'm super strong, I would just simply leap out of the way.
Yeah.
It's like maybe you're holding up a bridge.
Yeah.
You, Superman, are holding up a bridge and you get shot.
Exactly.
Or maybe you could even say that like the radiation coming off of kryptonite bullets.
Mm. Like that he couldn't dodge it?
Well, it's like as it approaches, it inherently weakens him, and so he can't dodge it or whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think it's great.
Also, if it's a Superman that everybody knows and loves,
yeah,
he got stabbed through the chest and died.
That's true, it did, yeah.
And as someone who is Superman and a fan of Superman,
yeah.
I would also make that sacrifice.
Maybe Bloodsport put a round in him when he was on the ground with a kryptonite spear through his chest.
You killed Superman.
Yeah, I did it. I did
he
it.
Was already he already was stabbed.
Yeah,
I mean, I didn't help. But.
Yeah, I got him. I got him, though. Anyway, we get some more. Quite apart from that, we get some other sort of...
I've just got one more thing to say about that in particular,
go on, yes.
A quote from James Gunn. So, yes, Bloodsport is in prison for putting Superman in the ICU with a kryptonite bullet. Yes, the Suicide Squad is part of the DCEU, which I guess is what it's called again now. Okay. Who the fuck knows? But I don't know which Superman it is because I don't cast the next Superman. So it could be Henry, could be someone else. It's whoever people decide on other than me.
Right.
So he just put it in and went, someone else can figure out who it was.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Because we're getting a black Superman movie. Cavill's not coming back at this point, but maybe he will down the line.
Could have been like a parallel universe.
Yeah.
Superman who shows up one day and then he gets around in him and he's like, I'm leaving.
This sucks.
This sucks.
Going back to the Smallville universe.
Maybe it's like the old school like black and white serial Superman.
Oh, my God. You could kill him with a regular bullet,
right?
That one.
Yeah. But what we learned from this trailer is there's something called Project Starfish.
Yes.
This leans more to my theory that Starro was created on Earth. But I think it also might be the idea, you know, that if Starro ended up on Earth and was entombed in, you know, Star Labs or whoever, locked him up.
Yeah,
now he mad.
He mad. Do you think he's the main villain? Because he can also, like, if he's shooting out little starfish, as you saw, he can control a bunch of people,
that's
can't
true.
He? So do you think he's going to control a bunch of Suicide Squatters?
Yes,
maybe. Maybe that Dr. Big Brain.
Maybe Dr. Big Brain.
Then he can do Big Brain stuff.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he needs Dr. Big Brain to do even more Big Brain stuff.
Imagine how big his brain would be.
So big.
I agree.
Also, some other facts that I learned about this. So in the comic books, Bloodsport's power is that he can, like, he can sort of spontaneously generate, like, weapons. Like, they're in an interdimensional storage, so he can sort of summon
them. That's
cool. But in this, his suit has, like, all sorts of different weapon pieces on it.
Ah.
And so he can just, like, grab a bit from wherever.
That.
Exactly.
Whatever.
That's James Gunn did a commentary on the...
That was on IGN, right?
Yes,
I didn't watch that. Yeah,
And he also said that one of the Harley Quinn looks is from the Arkham games. He specifically was like, "Let's take that look, put it in the movie."
Excellent,
pretty good, right?
All in all, this looks really good, and I hope it is good because I want good movies. I don't want Fast 9. I want better movies than that.
We've got a Fast 9 review coming up. Do we love it?
We said
we
last
really
week
love it.
That we didn't. But let's talk about Shang-Chi just quickly.
Mm.
The big reveal from this was the Abomination is in it.
And he's fighting Wong.
Fighting Wong.
Yeah.
That's great. Apparently there's going to be, I've seen some leaked stuff that...
Not the rest of the movie, who cares about that, but the Abomination,
no, but,
a character we recognise from previous movies.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think people in the first trailer were like, whatever, looks like whatever. They go, remember this? And people are like, yeah, we love this now, actually. That's all you need to do.
Yeah, you just need to,
just
have
need
a
to bring in
yeah.
an existing character, and people go, "We know this, and we love this."
They should have.
I'd be lying if I saw that and I went,
"Yeah,
that's pretty good."
They should have got Tony Stark to come in and be like, "That guy's even better at kung fu than I am."
And
I hit that dummy with my fists.
I was like this.
Pacha, pacha, poo-wah.
I said, "Poo-wah." I said,
"That's right."
Yeah. So good, I think.
So is that some sort of underground fighting ring? Are they there against their will, or are they
I think you'll win a prize or whatever. Okay. Or maybe you get to talk or walk with the Mandarin or get one of his rings or something.
Maybe, okay. Yeah. Well, speaking of that, we did get more illustration of what the rings do, and they seem to be, again, they're not the Mandarin rings of the comic books where they can do fire and ice and disintegration and illusions or whatever. They are kind of like force multipliers, and he can throw them around telekinesis style and summon them back. And
Big rings.
And also, they're big rings that probably belong to that dragon we see at the end.
That's right. It's called the Ancient One or something. I think it's in the
Is it?
Doesn't say Fing Fang Foom.
Okay, well, that's disappointing.
But yeah.
But we already have an Ancient One.
That's something else. Not the Ancient One. It's something else.
Okay.
I can't remember
what. The old fuddy duddy.
Yeah. Just a big old dragon, mate. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
I think that's what they're going to say at the time. What's that? Don't worry about it. It's a big old dragon.
It's the freaking old dragon.
What?
The freaking old dragon of lore? Of the legends? When the legends foretold of a freaking old dragon?
There it is.
Whoa.
It's underwater, I think.
Yeah.
Well, it's a dream sequence. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway, it's always good to see a dragon.
And I mean, sort of at a certain point, canonically, we did have dragons in the Marvel Universe because of the Defenders.
Defenders of the Earth.
Oh, yeah.
And Iron Fist and that's whatever.
Right. Yeah.
But then I guess they've been taken out of continuity, but guess what? They're back, baby.
That's right.
Wow. Dragons are back. Freaking old dragons.
I saw it in the trailer.
Yeah, you did.
Could be a new dragon. Yeah. We don't know it's old either.
Anyway, I'm excited to see Wong again because I love Benedict Wong as Wong.
I agree.
Yeah.
And I love him in the movie Sunshine, which is both of our favourite movie.
I guess. Sure.
Yes. I guess also. Mason?
Yes?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's time to talk about the biggest movie since The Rise of Skywalker.
Whoa, what?
In terms of box office, this made $70 million in its opening US weekend, which is, again, the biggest since Tross, that atrocity, am I right? Am I right, everybody? I didn't think it was very good. It probably wasn't the worst Star Wars film, but I didn't really like it. Anyway, it's neither here nor there. The Last Jedi, I felt, though, was more representative of the character of Luke Skywalker than some people give it credit for.
Mm-hmm.
At the worldwide box office, F9 has made $404 million. About half of that is in China alone because John Cena bent the knee. You know what I'm bloody talking about? I mean, that's a $200 million apology, right?
I see what he's saying. Yeah, okay, right.
Because what did he say? I can't even remember what he said. He said it was a particular country that China doesn't recognize as a country.
He said Taiwan. He called Taiwan
that's
a
right.
country, yeah.
Yeah. But China don't recognize that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, they got $200 million out of it.
They sure did.
Yeah, because they could have pulled that film.
I mean, if John
Cena
said, you know, everybody in Australia is a pack of dumbasses, I'd be like, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Jerry Seinfeld once called Melbourne the anus of the world.
Huh.
Whatever. I didn't date a 17-year-old when I was 38, so what the fuck, what do I know? I'm still angry about it, Mason. How dare you say that about our great yeah. No, I don't care. I didn't care at the time.
I went past a noodle shop in Melbourne quite recently, and there's a sign in the window, and it says, Bill Clinton had two bowls. How many are you going to have? And I'm like, probably none. Probably none. He's probably done a bunch of stuff that I haven't done, and I won't do. I won't do most of the things that Bill Clinton's done.
Fair enough.
So play cool jazz on a saxophone.
Yeah. That's how you get to the top.
That's right.
So you get to the top. That's how you take no responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, Mason.
our political opinions will certainly go well with our review of Fast 9. I think people who want a real a real fun, breezy review of the film Fast 9 are really going to...
Maybe I'll leave this one off YouTube. A few of them I've been piecing together.
Uh-huh.
I think I'm full up of videos this week anyway. Anyway, so it's been 8 years since Tokyo Drift. What do you think the story was?
Ah, no!
That's right, Mason.
Okay, so this movie is set after 6, 7, and 8.
Yes. Yeah. Tokyo Drift was
so the movies went 1, 2, 4, 5.
Yep. Is 6 the one where
3
Han
and
died?
6, yeah. So he dies at the end.
Or does Han die in 7?
No, he dies in 6.
All right.
So then it goes 3 and 6,
yeah,
and then 7, 8, 9.
Okay.
Okay, the story is, okay, so the bad guys, they want to acquire the plot device from XXX3, the Return of Xander Cage.
Yeah.
So they're like, who better to get that back than somebody who has firm experience with the movie XXX3, the Return of Xander Cage?
Yeah.
Xander Cage.
That's right.
Tom Toretto.
He's back.
He's back.
And we see his flashbacks. We see him as a little boy.
Yeah, the littlest boy. Except for his little brother, who's even littler.
He's a littler boy.
Yeah.
How do you know that John Cena and Vin Diesel are the same family? They've given them the same spray tan. That's how you know that they're
and
brothers.
And the same singlet.
I guess.
Yeah. And
I guess.
And the same crucifix.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. Sorry to interrupt. Go on.
No, that's the whole plot.
Oh, yeah. So it's called Ares, and it controls the government and
weapons,
stock markets and whatever.
Weapons, yeah.
Just does whatever.
It's just a generic. Last 8, they had another thing. It was God's Eye, I remember, and it was a thing, and it could hack all the things. It's the same. It's the same thing
remember,
again. It doesn't matter.
Honest.
It's the same one.
I've just written. Look,
it's what I would call a really lazy MacGuffin.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm just going to spoil this. It doesn't matter if you haven't seen
okay,
it.
Okay. Prior to doing that, I just want to say. There's not a lot to spoil in this movie.
Yep.
Especially if you've seen any of the trailers. Don't listen to this if you're like, I haven't seen F9
but
yet.
I haven't seen any of the.
I've gone completely blank.
I haven't seen any Fast and Furious movies. You got to catch up, mate.
If you want, like the trailers obviously spoil a very big plot point. But other
the magnet plane.
The magnet plane, obviously, and the magnet cars. This movie's all about
magnets. The same magnet, Mason.
Was this movie written by the Insane Clown Posse? Maybe. But anyway, if you don't want to know anything about the movie, don't listen to any of this. But what I will say right at the start is that in the first 5 minutes of the movie, again, without giving anything away, there is a flashback, like you said, a character, a minor character who's not recurring, so you don't have to worry about it, is in an accident, like a car accident at a stock car racing kind of, like a pre-NASCAR kind of thing.
A Bathurst,
if you will, and they die.
Yep.
In the rest of the movie, every main character gets into a situation 1,000 times more dangerous and they're fine.
Yeah.
Like when I watch the film, I'm like, oh my God, maybe they're going to introduce some element of danger to this movie. Like, oh, that happened and they go, we show the realities of car racing and, you know, if you get in an accident, that's, you know, you can be crippled for life or dead or whatever. But in this, everyone's fine.
You're forgetting that's before they acquired the magic amulet that made them invincible.
I forgot about the magic
because
amulet.
Because that flashback was set before the events of the original Fast and Furious movie.
When they got the magic amulet that made them immune to all damage.
There is a recurring gag that they're invincible. It's that whole it's hanging a lantern.
It's what for people who don't know, we've mentioned it before. It's sometimes called hanging a lantern on it, or sometimes lampshading.
Yeah.
And the idea is that if you want somebody to get on board with a silly premise or a silly idea or a silly resolution or something, you call it out in the movie, and then people go, "Oh, if they've said it, and I'm thinking we're all on board." So if like you know, like if somebody was searching for something in the desert and they just found it in 5 minutes, you'd go, wow, what are the odds we'd find this thing in 5 minutes in the desert? It's pretty unlikely kind of thing.
This Aquaman movie is crazy.
Yeah, but they do that in this movie. There's Tyrese, yep. Roman, goes, hey, isn't it weird that we've been shot at a billion times and we've had submarines dropped on us or whatever and we're all fine? Yep, it is weird, actually.
I didn't even touch that magic amulet. It wasn't even in the first movie.
It is weird. That's the thing. Like, this movie feels to me, and again, like, our history with these movies is I'm pretty indifferent towards the first six. I think seven and eight are really good. I think they're the high. They're
I think five is good.
Okay.
And I think three is good.
I think seven and eight are the high watermark. I think they're fun and silly and over the top.
Yeah.
I think Hobbs and Shaw is like a very unsatisfying watch.
Hobbs and Shaw is this.
Yeah, this. Well, I'm saying this is similarly unsatisfying to me. And it's not to say you can't go in and enjoy these and go, love them saying dumb stuff and I like the actors and, you know, I like the explosions and I like the silly premises. But to me, this felt like a lot of lazy stuff. And look, far be it for me to criticize the ninth movie in a franchise about driving cars. Tenth movie about driving cars fast that might be dumb or lazy.
Yeah.
But this one really felt like they were like, just say whatever.
Yeah.
Just say, what can they be after? Just say it's a device and it can control everything.
How are they going to get away?
Didn't we do that last time? It doesn't matter. Who cares?
Look at a Magna plane.
Mm.
Who do they work for at this point?
Themselves.
Is it Mr. Nobody?
No, they're just doing a favor for Mr. Nobody. Okay,
great.
Because Mr. Nobody was like, the bad guys have got the MacGuffin. I better send out an emergency beacon to the government, to anybody. No, just the car guys, I guess.
Dominic Toretto. So Dom is Tony Stark in it, right? I've just written some notes here, and this is just as the movie unfolds. So I'm going to spoil it in the order that the movie happens.
Okay.
So he's Tony Starking it because he's like, he's retired, like Endgame.
Yes.
He's living alone with his family. Yep. I also think it's weird that he's called his son Brian when Brian is alive in this universe. I think that's weird. It'd be like if I called my son Nick Mason. It's strange.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing to do.
And yet you did it. And now every time you're like, Nick Mason, you're in a lot of trouble. I'm like, I figured out what I did.
So, but he has to leave his kid. Oh, first of all, he doesn't have a phone, and then there's a car coming towards their property that he lives with Brian and Michelle Rodriguez, and there's a car coming down the driveway, and he's like, Brian, little Brian, get under the stairs, and he grabs his shotgun, and then the car rolls up, and it turns out it's Tyrese and Ludacris
Roman,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that every time somebody visits you?
Yeah.
It's just like somebody, you don't have a phone, man.
Hey, kid, it's hide and shotgun time. This is going to traumatize you. Don't even worry. Yeah.
Insanity.
I read a tweet earlier today, and I don't have it here, but it was someone who had never watched a Fast and Furious movie.
Yeah.
And they started with 9. And they're like, I got through half of this movie, and I wasn't sure whether Vin Diesel and Michelle Rodriguez's characters were a couple or just like,
just living together, yeah.
Because there was no chemistry of any kind.
That's true.
Yeah.
Wow.
Also, I have here, this is from comedian Blaine Capatch.
Gotcha.
In 2013, I posted a list of all the upcoming Fast and Furious sequels. Let's take a look at the clip. And then he's written 100 Fast and Furious sequel names, which include Fast and Furious 7, Fast Brides for Furious Brothers. Fast and Furious 8, I can't believe I ate the whole Furious. Fast and Furious 11, this time they drive trucks. Fast and Furious...
The trucks could be the 11.
Yeah. Fast and Furious 15, Farfur. Fast and Furious 16, The Mystery of the Creepy Campground. Anyway, so on and so forth.
That's good stuff.
I'll read some of these later.
If you could.
Yeah.
So then...
Fast and Furious 22, The Cook, the Thief, Her Fast and Her Furious.
Very good.
Yeah.
So they have to go to a place to get the first, it's in two halves.
Yeah.
The machine.
Well, technically
Ares.
It's in three halves.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because
it's a key.
It's a key. That's right. It's in three halves. And they have to go to a place in the jungle or something to get it. And they're like, we don't want to cross the military here because it's like, it's a heavily militarized zone and whatever. Also, I can hear kookaburras. I'm like, is this Australia? The fuck is this? Anyway, it's not. It's. I don't know, Brazil maybe.
You think Brazil has kookaburras? You think there's
maybe they do.
Wow, you think Brazilian kookaburras?
Anyways, Charlize Theron, she's back and she's got another terrible haircut.
Yep.
Just can't. Is it better? It's probably better than the last one.
Yeah, maybe.
But I don't know. She looks like somebody. She looks like that guy who got surgery to look like Justin Bieber, his haircut.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Makes more sense than anything you've ever said.
Thank you very much. Does this make any sense, though? The fact that they're constantly catching people with cars. Just let them hit the ground. Like, it's the same. Like, really... I'd rather land in the dirt than on the hood of a car.
Yeah.
Is that just me?
No, that's...
You're not helping.
No.
You're just driving a car at me as I'm falling off another car. That's bad news.
They should, like, they should get the car, right? And they should hang from the back of the car like a big inflatable hot dog or whatever. And you land on the big inflatable hot dog.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely fine with that.
Yeah.
How do you feel about things like the bridge swing?
Ridiculous.
Like, but, like, they jumped from a skyscraper two or three movies ago and I was okay with it. But this...
No, but at seven, that was like...
Yeah, at least that's what was, I mean, yeah.
But at least that was like... That was the equivalent of leaping a bridge.
Yes.
Which I feel is like a standard of a like a car racing kind of movie. And, like, it's a bridge, but it's higher. And that was totally fine.
Yeah, and
fine,
you go down. But yeah, this is like you got to lock the wheel into
Well, you got to lock the wheel into... You got to drive the car
momentum.
Off...
Momentum.
Yeah, well, you got to drive a car off one side of a cliff.
Yep.
And... expect that the loose bit of wire from the bridge hooks around one of your wheels and locks in place, like Indy Whip style,
yeah,
but with a car.
Yeah.
And then they swing down through the crevasse and they get on the other side of the cliff and then the car, like, tumbles, like, five or six times in a way that would absolutely have blown up and killed them if they were the guy...
If they were Vin Diesel's.
At the speedway. Yeah. And then they're fine.
Yeah.
And they're like, wow, we're fine.
Because we're invincible.
Yeah.
Because we touched that amulet.
It makes a lot more sense if they added that as a deleted scene. There's even a bit... We talked about... recently we recorded a Caravan of Garbage for Iron Man 2.
Yes.
And in Iron Man 2 at the end, Iron Man and War Machine are like... They've got the low ground.
Yeah.
And they're like, you don't want to be in there. That's the kill box. Mm. If anybody's got the higher ground, you are definitely going to die.
Yeah.
And then in this point of the movie... Roman is in the kill box.
Yes.
He's surrounded by, it's literally 14 people, because he points it out later. There's 14 people, yes, with AK-47s, and they just fire hundreds of bullets at him.
And they all miss.
They all miss.
His friends have abandoned him.
Yes, that's right.
And he escapes. Mm. Do you think that was Tyrese being like, I want my own action sequence?
Or maybe he's like, I want to die. I mean, maybe, I guess.
If you're invincible, you would want to die. So anyway, let's just spoil the familiar twist, the La Familia, if you will. So the worst movie ever.
Oh yeah,
The but if you like these, you're probably okay with. But also, I know.
But I like.
But maybe
I like
not,
some of them.
Though. Maybe
I
not. Yeah.
I think this is the absolute epitome of just like. Just, there's one thing we'll get to, I think, in spoilers.
Yeah.
We're pretty much in spoilers, but it's just something that people would have gone in for.
Yeah.
Like, they would have had to go to, like, I want to know the answer to this, and it's just so lazy.
Can we just do that now?
Okay, let's do it. Okay, yeah. Let's say, okay, the spoilers from here. I think also worst movie ever. Real disappointing. I like these movies. I think they've got, especially like Justin Lin, like they've got a certain style.
He's done a lot of these and they're good.
And they, yeah,
he did Tokyo Drift, which I like a lot.
And you know what? It also felt, a thought that I had was maybe, because I know they're going to round this out with 10 and 11, supposedly,
yeah,
at least. Mm. I wonder if they were like, okay, 10 and 11, we're going to film them. It's a plot that works to, like, it's the end of the saga.
Yep.
It's going to be an Infinity War endgame situation.
Harry Potter, Deathly Hallows.
Exactly, one and two. We got to, the overarching plot all works together. We got to film them together. Let's just do a filler for 9.
Yeah.
Like that's
Let's half-blood prince this.
It really felt like they were like, we'll do this one, we'll knock it out,
yeah,
and it'll be finished, and then we'll do 10 and 11, and that's really where the gold is.
And everybody we need to be alive at this point, well, a lot of them are. They'll bring back more, no doubt.
Yeah.
Cole Hauser,
well, he's got to get out of jail at some point.
Get out of jail.
And he's spent his time doing karate.
Yes,
in jail,
he has.
So now he can, and he just karateed his way out of prison.
That's right. So Vin Diesel's brother,
yes,
John Cena.
Yes.
They're the same colour.
Yes.
They've made it so. They're the same shade of orange, whatever's going on with John Cena's tan. So they were the mechanics on their father's NASCAR situation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what had happened, or what Vin Diesel thought had happened, is that John Cena had killed his father on purpose because he was jealous of Vin Diesel.
Because he remembered that John Cena had gone into the car engine before, yes, the race and had tinkered with something.
Yeah.
And then the crash, which wouldn't have killed a normal man or any man with an amulet, a magic amulet, yes, that makes you invincible. It caused the car to blow up.
Yes.
And then he was like, oh, you killed our dad.
But here's the thing, right? Because later he's in jail and when he figures it out, there's those two guys that are there that are in other movies.
Yes, yes.
And they're like, check this thing because you missed the crack and the car could explode. And he's like, missed the crack, car could explode. Oh, yeah. And then he notices it. Then he thinks back and he's like, did John Cena kill my dad? Are we brothers or whatever?
Uh-huh.
But like,
we must be because we've got the same tan and the same singlet.
Except, but my thinking would be, I missed this. These guys tell me about this minor thing that could happen and your car exploded. Why wouldn't my little brother John Cena, there's a good chance that he would have missed that also.
Right, yeah.
Like he immediately goes, he did it on purpose and killed him.
Yeah.
And then it turns out that
His dad asked him to kill him
or
to
whatever.
To throw the race by murdering him.
Just break, idiot.
And also, yeah, just hit the brakes and then go, I was hitting the accelerator. I don't know what happened, but I lost the race. Yeah, and also, it's one of those things that could have been solved with a post-it note.
Yeah.
He's like, our dad.
My dad promised them.
I promised our dad I would never tell you that I was not responsible for his death.
Yeah.
What? He's dead now, though. Yeah. So just say, actually, he asked me to do this.
Do you think your dad would want your brother to think that you killed him?
Yeah.
Do you think that was his dying wish? That's I hope my sons have an international war against each other.
That's right.
Because everything that John Cena has done, including the spray tan, is to emulate Dom Toretto. Yeah. And maybe we talked about this another time, but does that mean he was stealing DVDs at a very rapid pace?
But he was in the Southern Hemisphere stealing PAL DVDs. whereas in America it was NTSC.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So when Vin Diesel's career dog-legged into international espionage, John Cena went,
oh, God.
Fuck, okay.
Yeah, all right, here we go.
Who do I know?
I think it's more that he's become an international spy and then Dom Toretto was accidentally.
Probably because he touched an ambulance. Yes. Ridiculous. So they also hand wave away Brian in this.
Yeah.
Which is kind of get it awkward at this point, and I think they are going to bring him back. We talked about it in a video.
Yeah.
But I think because his car shows up in this at the end
as
well.
He has a WRX or whatever it is.
It's something else. Yeah. A lot of people have told us or whatever. They bring back Nos, don't they, at one point? I wrote, they bring back winning a race with Nos.
Yeah, somebody had some Nos, but I couldn't tell you who.
It must have been that drag race that he had so John Cena would keep going.
Oh, it was. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
So that's cool, I guess.
Yeah.
It was good. I didn't mind the flashbacks because it felt more like
old
the
school.
First one.
Yeah.
You know?
The first and the Furious.
It felt like real.
Speaking of, Fast and Furious 24, Fast gets killed, or does he?
Probably not, I reckon. Yeah.
Yep.
What did you think about some other returning characters?
Well, I mean, obviously the Tokyo Drift boys are back.
Bow Wow. Lucas Black, the most boring man in town. In any town.
And the third guy.
So that means Lucas Black, being 17 at the time of Tokyo Drift in 2013, means now he's 25, which is the age he was when he filmed Tokyo Drift.
Oh, I see.
And he certainly looks all of those 25 years.
Yeah. And he's a rocket scientist. They're all rocket scientists
Why are they all weird nerds now? Wasn't he a cool guy?
I thought he was supposed to be a cool guy. Yeah.
I think what they needed was Tyrese and Ludacris are like the funny cool guys. And they're like, well, we need some even bigger nerds to make fun of.
Yes, exactly.
Because they're the butt of jokes.
Yeah, they're the goofy ones.
And now we've got some this bloody...
It's bloody cavalcade of clowns
Three
over
Stooges
here.
Three
Stooges, exactly, yeah.
Rolling in.
Yeah.
I don't know, it was just a very odd sequence which culminated in shooting a plane into space.
Yeah.
Which you had an
why
issue
with. Why
aren't
they working on jets?
Oh, sorry, not a plane. That's a good point.
They're rocket scientists. Why are they reduced to this putting rockets on a car? Why are you just making rockets? But my point was,
yeah,
because of like the... And again, I don't mind a premise if like, well, we've got to go into space. I think that's fine. But like, it feels like they just went, oh, just whatever. Just say you can't hack the satellite. They've got to hack a satellite, but they can't do it from the ground.
Yeah.
Even though it's being sent data from the ground.
No, you can't.
So
do it
clearly has the capability.
It's touched the amulet.
Yeah,
it's invincible.
It's invincible. So we have to get some guys into space, and I'm just like, why do you need two men in a rocket car to go up there and hack the satellite when what you have is a big missile?
Like a rocket
that you could just plow into the satellite, which is what they do.
Yeah.
You couldn't put like a remote control in that thing thing of C4 or whatever, or
Ridic.
Something that will explode in space. Like,
doesn't make any sense.
Just put a camera on it and launch it into space and then just steer it and then...
Also, they've got space suits. You could just get out of the car and just start pulling bits off that satellite.
You could, it's true.
Or rocket through it, I guess.
Yeah, and the villain's plan, obviously, they've got the satellite, they've got the truck, and then the truck has the signal generator in it. So they've got to stop the truck before it sends all the data to the satellite.
Yeah.
And so what they've got is a bunch of magnets that can disrupt signals.
Yep, yep.
Because earlier they're like, hey, none of our phones are working because of the magnets.
Because of magnets.
Why don't you just put the magnets on the truck?
I mean, I would.
What I would do, I mean, obviously.
It doesn't matter if you're invincible. You don't need a plan, Mason.
No, that's true.
And also the magic amulet.
You just wait until they die, your opponents die of old age. You just keep driving until they die. I mean, obviously, the reason is, obviously, because it wouldn't be a Fast and the Furious movie if they weren't driving cars. But obviously, what you'd do is you'd rent a helicopter, you'd fly it above the truck, you'd drop all the magnets you have on the truck, and then they wouldn't be able to transmit the data. And then when they got out of the truck, you'd shoot them.
Yeah.
That's what you'd do. But then a helicopter. Helicopter isn't a Fast and the Furious vehicle,
no.
So you have to have cars and have them and just bang into this invincible truck for a bit until you flip the truck, I guess.
Yeah.
Just get a big net and put the magnets on it and drop the net on the truck, and then they'd be like, the signal isn't working anymore because of the aforementioned magnets from earlier, which we were using to disrupt signals. And then they get out of the truck and you shoot them in the head.
Yeah. Maybe the truck touched the amulet. The amulet, by the way, is not Dom Toretto's cross. It's a different amulet.
It's a different amulet.
It's like an Egyptian thing.
You don't see the amulet.
It's in one of the prequels.
Fast and Furious 35, Fast and Furious Meet Frankenstein.
Yep, good.
Fast and Furious 37, A New Guy is Furious. I'll stop doing this. I'll send it to you later.
Please don't.
Okay.
Corona's back, but Dom doesn't drink it.
Yep.
He gets offered a Corona.
Whoa.
Helen Mirren's in this. Cardi B is in this.
She's just known Dom from back in the day.
Yep.
She's not been in any of the previous ones. She's just famous, I guess. So
it's like, hello, I'm in this. I live in England, I guess.
Yep, that's right.
That's right. There's a guy who loves Star Wars and he keeps talking about Star Wars. Who was that? I don't remember. Talking about? There was a guy who's like continually making Star Wars references about Yoda and stuff. Oh, that the billionaire was funding things.
Yeah,
he's
I'm
Yoda.
Right.
And she's like, you're Yoda because you got your hand up your ass, you fucking idiot, or whatever. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, Han is alive and he's still snacking. He's saved by a why is he alive?
Well, that's the thing. So here's the thing. So obviously, if you've seen the trailers.
I have.
Like, that's the thing. So imagine you made this character. You're Justin Lin, you made this character in a previous movie. It's a fan favorite. He got put in a movie.
Good character.
He was a character that people enjoyed. And then you're like, now it's time to bring him back. And then you get the first cut of the trailer and they're just like, yeah, we just said Han's back.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you be like, maybe we could say somebody's back?
Yeah.
But he was just, and I know they don't have as much, like directors don't have a huge amount of control over what's in the trailers, but I feel like I'd be like, maybe don't say Han's back, because a whole bunch of the narrative of this movie is we're looking for the legacy of Han, but who's this mysterious shadowy figure who's following us? Who's the guy who keeps showing up when we're looking for stuff about Han? Oh, it's Han.
It's Han.
But I mean, do people want to know that going in?
I mean, I think it's probably popular character.
Is this the reason why trailers have trailers at the start of them now? Because people don't like being surprised.
Yeah.
So do you think there are people out there who'd be like, I want to know who this mysterious guy is and I'm mad that they haven't told us yet? I feel like there's some element to that.
I would say almost certainly.
But also, if you know that invariably they're going to say, we're going to put Han is back in the trailer, then that's not a surprise to the audience. So you would want the reason for him to come back to be compelling.
Yes.
And I would think, given that there have been 9 of these already, there would be 100 ways that you could explain why he's back, and I would go, sure, okay.
Whatever.
Like, imagine if you went, his car's been flipped over at the end of 3, it's burning or whatever, and you got a couple of the guys with the harpoon guns from Fast and Furious 1, they pull the truck windscreen out. Imagine if they'd gone, okay, we'll just... We shot the window out
and then we
ripped him out and he was injured or whatever. I'd go, perfect. That's
even he climbed out through a manhole, whatever.
Climbed out through a manhole. You could have magnets.
Yeah.
Because of all the magnets. You could say we whipped the door off and the seats and then...
It was only 8 years prior. There would have been pretty good magnet technology at that point.
But the revelation is...
He's a hologram?
No, it's not.
He wasn't in the car?
Well, he just... The revelation is, in the flashback, he just wasn't in the car. He was in a building over there.
Watching
the explosion happen.
It's like a Now You See Me trick.
Yeah.
It's
just we used CIA technology.
It's a hologram, right?
But it wasn't a hologram because it didn't do the traditional hologram wobble.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So what was it?
And it's also...
Because he wasn't in the car.
Because again, if you watch the... Because I went back and I watched the death scene in 3. He's driving the car. The car crashes. He's on the ground and then it blows up. But again, there's moments where you could...
Well, there's another bit where angle where Jason Statham does it.
Yeah.
Which narrows the window even further.
But I mean, yeah, there's still time and room in there.
I agree.
But like, to just go, no, if there was a scene in three, if there was an angle in three where you just see the car driving along and it's by itself or whatever,
yeah,
and you don't see who's in it, you could go
switch cars.
We switch cars under a bridge or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, you're supposed to use what
footage. But he's still in the car.
Yeah, he's still definitely in the car, but then he's just not in the car.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
They just didn't answer it.
They were
at
just
all.
Like, who cares? And that's how I feel like, that's why this movie was so disappointing. That's symptomatic of why this movie is so disappointing, because they just went, should we give people a reason? Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We could think about it for 5 minutes and come up with a reason.
Maybe he's got a brother.
Maybe he's got a brother.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But also, like, the fact that they pulled him out of the wreckage and they set this whole thing up, which means they would have timed it with that he was siphoning money off the guy who worked for Yakuza or whatever.
Yeah.
So, like, his escape plan tied into that thing he was doing. But the CIA knew him for some reason.
Uh-huh.
It's, I don't know. And they didn't use him well either. He didn't really do anything. He's a favorite character of mine, and I was disappointed. Also, they cut his hair. Get out of here. Mm-hmm. I didn't like it, Mason.
No, it was bad.
I didn't like any of it. Anyway, he's got a daughter or something. Because
she's the key.
She's the key to the neutron bomb that takes all the internet and gives it to the bad guys.
The internet taker? No! John Cena's got his hands on the internet taker.
I just realized something.
What's that?
He probably touched that amulet.
He could just... And his ability was he could just not be in a car but be in a building.
So there's a moment where Dom Toretto, he wants everyone to get away, including Letty, and then he ragdolls just like 20 dudes. Like just clean picks them up off the ground.
And Letty just doesn't leave. Like he's like, I'm giving you time to get away. And she's like, no, just go.
And then taking two chains
in
his muscular arms, mm-hmm. he pulls down an entire concrete structure. I mean, he did knock down that car park that one time, so it's a bit on brand. And then he falls
was
into the...
Was that him or was that The Rock?
No, that was him. He stomped it and then Jason Statham fell into a car park or whatever.
Oh, I thought that was The Rock.
It might have been The Rock.
I think it was The Rock.
Well, look, if The Rock could do it, he could do it.
That's true. Yeah, no, you're right. He is taller and stronger. So.
That's right. And then he falls into the water where he has a 20-minute flashback sequence.
Yeah.
And then he's fine. He gets out and he's like, I'm ready for more whatever we're doing.
Yeah.
Crap.
Agreed.
Just like Dom Toretto is like at this point, he's I don't know. He's like Stretch Armstrong. He's not a real man. You know what I mean? And I know he was always that, I guess, to some extent, but just not interesting.
And look, I understand. Like, I'm sure there are people who go in this and they're like, look at the ridiculous stuff that is happening. Isn't this a hoot? And I get that.
Yeah.
But it's not, I don't like it.
I agree. Not, I liked it when all the cars were being radio controlled and they were crashing in the previous one. Remember that?
Yeah,
that was
not
a
bad,
good idea.
Not bad.
And like the stuff that like the magnet and the bridge swing and the growing to space or whatever, I don't have a problem with any of it. That's not the stuff I have a problem with. Like it's dumb stuff. It's all this in-between shit that I don't like.
Yeah.
Like you're talking about how they just don't think about why a character is anywhere or you know what I mean? Or why someone's alive or what anything means to anybody.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like, again, it feels like they went, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Why explain anything to anybody? Why, if you're coming into this expecting any kind of explanation for anything, well, you're not going to get it and we don't care.
And you're an idiot.
You're an idiot.
Thinking that.
Yeah.
My last note is there anything more powerful than the combined forces of Dom and Dom's brother, John Cena?
I don't know, but I'm glad they teamed up. I'm glad that John Cena got betrayed.
Yep.
And then he turned around and he helped stop the bad guys, and then they were like, well, you've earned our respect, you can go.
Yeah.
Even though if you hadn't been betrayed, you would have murdered us all.
Yes.
In cold blood without ever thinking about it, but it's only because you got betrayed that you turned it around.
That's right.
Out of necessity, I guess, so now we respect you.
It's a little Darth Vader situation,
yeah,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, 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 mm-hmm.
yeah. Anyway, he'll be back for the next movie because now Mason, because he's lost a brother in Brian, mm-hmm. because Brian's busy looking after his kid Brian,
he
needs his real brother, John Cena.
That's right.
And you know they're brothers because they spray painted them the same.
The same colour.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
All in
it's
all.
It's weird that he never mentioned a brother, isn't it?
Yeah, he's got
Mr.
a sister.
Family.
He's
you know?
Got a sister.
Yeah, that's true. Mr.
No, he's written him off.
Ah, yeah, I guess.
He's like, I can't even be dealing with this guy. Kill my dad.
That's true.
He didn't notice the crack in the engine even though he was 14. I hit a man with a Pipe Wrench.
Fast and Furious 70, The Heartbreak of Psoriasis.
That is heartbreaking.
That is, yeah.
God, I don't know, man. I think there's room to right this ship, though. Because I think these movies, you know, some are better than others.
Yeah.
And the next two could be good.
Jurassic Park.
Why not? I don't care. I don't care.
Nobody cares. That's why. That's. I mean, maybe that's the beauty of it. But, you know, nobody cares, so.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to bring back Paul Walker?
No, I think I reckon they're going to bring.
I think he said do a little car cameo.
I think they'll
right?
do a little car cameo. I think maybe in 10 or 11 he'll show up and he'll, you know, he'll show up in the in his traditional WRX or whatever it is, and he'll nudge somebody off the road like the bad guy, and we'll be like, "Yeah, you did it!" And he'll give a salute, and maybe he'll wave the amulet. We'll finally get to see the amulet.
Do you reckon it glows?
Yeah.
It's got a bit of a sheen to it.
Maybe it's yeah. I mean, if it glowed, that'd be a bit ostentatious, wouldn't it?
It's true, a bit on the nose.
Yeah, I agree.
Next segment of the show.
Yeah, let's do it.
Can we never talk about these movies again until the next time?
Okay.
Can we just give it a year?
Yes.
Okay. I reckon it would be 2 years until the next one.
That's true.
It went for too long as well. It was very long.
Very long.
It felt like Bad Boys 2 because it went for so long.
Yeah.
I didn't like Bad Boys 2 for those people that don't know. Here we go. What are we reading? What are we going to read?
Yes.
I'm doing the thing.
Westworld. I'm back, Mason.
You're back?
Yeah.
You were briefly at 39% and that just wrecked you.
Yep.
But now you're back full throttle 40%.
40%, baby. What have you been reading?
I have been reading the television show Starstruck. Have you seen that?
What's Starstruck?
Starstruck is, it's a show, it's on BBC in the UK, it's on HBO Max in America, and it's on ABC here.
Yes, it is.
It's got Rose Matafeo.
Yes.
It is, it's written by Rose Matafeo, who's a stand-up comic. She's from New Zealand. And Alice Sneddon, they had a podcast called Boners of the Heart.
And they're in the show. Yeah.
Rose plays a woman, a New Zealand woman in London, who meets a man at a New Year's party. They go home together, and then she realizes in the morning that he is super, super famous. And it's kind of like a modern day Notting Hill. It's very
cool,
funny.
Okay.
It's a good show.
The whole thing's up.
Yeah, it's all up on iView.
That
I
sounds
think.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm just going to close that door out there because I
close the door.
Cold again.
Yeah,
I'm going to check that out.
You should. It's kind of a suggestible kind of show.
Oh.
So I thought I'd get in first because otherwise sometimes I say, "Hey, I was watching the show Star Trek," and you're like, "Yeah, me and Claire talking about it. It's suggestible. We've seen it already."
It's funny you should mention that because me and Claire actually
are getting divorced.
Yes, we are.
Oh, great.
Yeah. It's because of our son Nick Mason. It's driven us apart.
That's right. He's so mean.
He's very mean. I read the first issue of a new DC series called The Other History of the DC Universe.
I've never heard of this.
John Ridley is in charge of this, who's wrote 12 Years a Slave. And this issue, the first one I read, is by Alex Dos Diaz and Giuseppe Carmen Coley.
Yes.
And this one in particular focuses on Black Lightning, the story of Jefferson Pierce, who's school teacher by day, Black Lightning by night, right?
Probably pretty tired.
He is. He's real tired all the time.
Working day and night.
So the idea behind this series is that it examines the mythology of the DC universe in a compelling new miniseries that reframes iconic moments of DC history and charts a previously unexplored socio-political thread as seen through the prism of DC superheroes who come from traditionally disenfranchised groups.
Interesting.
So that is the basis of this, and it was terrific, issue. And it's like, It's long. It's like felt like it was like 80 pages long, and it just charts his history from being a teacher to getting powers. He's going out at night. He's seeing Batman and Superman. He's like, these fucking guys think they're better than me or whatever, and they're getting all these accolades, and he's getting beaten up in the streets, and they're like, you should join the Justice League, and he's like, get out of here with your bullshit or whatever.
It's like when stand-up comics are told, like, you should go on the telly.
Yeah,
you should be on the telly. Why should I? Just go on the telly.
But they even ask him, and he's like, not interested, but it's about how he's treated in the relation to other superheroes, the white superheroes like Superman.
Yeah.
Who's like, and he meets Superman at one point and Superman's talking to him and he's flying and he's like, this fucking guy won't even land. He's just flying in front of me. But it's about how he perceives them also, and sometimes fairly and sometimes unfairly.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? And it's great. So I'm going to
are there like recognizable DC events in this?
A little bit, yeah, but more in the fringes, and it talks about like groups that he's in and characters that he interacts with.
Okay.
It kind of reminds me of like Spider-Man Life Story where it kind of,
right.
Like, not that I've read a lot of Black Lightning or I haven't seen that TV show at all, so I don't know that much about him, but it was great. I was I really enjoyed it. So yeah, get into it. That's a whole series. So I don't know who the second one is, but I'm going to read it because I think there's a bunch of them out by now. It started, I think, last year.
Maybe it's Superman.
Might be Superman.
It's
yeah.
like I'm just seeing the events of the DC Universe through the lens of Superman, the guy who was in the middle of all of it.
Finally, my perspective told. Anything else? Or we should do another segment.
Whatever. Am I watching anything else? You know what? I mentioned. I sent a clip of this to you earlier.
Yes.
I mention this every week. maybe I don't, but I should. Our friends over at Gamey Gamey Game, the YouTube video series that is ostensibly about video games, but it's probably not.
Not really.
This week, everybody's very funny on it, but Ben Russell, who's one of the hosts of the show. He's in quarantine currently, so he can't go into the studio, but he's on one of the big screens, and so he's streaming from his house. So he has like his Twitch deck, I guess, with him, which has all it has like sound effects and an auto tune and like weird R&B jams. And
amazing.
He's just all I'll say is just watch the whole. I think people should watch the show because I think it's really good, and I think not enough people watch it. We've both been on separately.
I was supposed to go on for the E3, but I couldn't. Yeah, sorry they didn't ask you.
It's very interesting, isn't it? Never been invited back.
Haven't you?
Nope.
I think that was the only time I've been invited back, so I wouldn't take it personally.
Nevertheless, despite these personal slights against us, I'm going to say people should watch the show. But
I went on 4 years ago, by the way.
Yeah, same.
For Battlefront 2.
Like
skip
to like 9:45.
Yep.
Something really weird happens.
Yeah.
Just a real.
You
moment.
Can watch up to that point.
Yeah,
though.
I think
it's
so
not that
too.
Far
but
in.
The whole premise of the show breaks down, and I think it's very funny. But I think everybody's great on that. I think this week it's Ben, Evan, Naomi, and Mark from Auntie Donna.
That's
and
right.
They're just doing it.
They're ostensibly
talking about Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah,
but
a game I'll never play because I don't have a PlayStation.
Also,
5.
Have a PlayStation 5. Yeah,
that's right. I'm pretty confident Mason is going to get me one for my birthday because I got him a Switch.
Okay, right. That's a good trade up. That's a good investment.
I think so. what's the next segment
next
of the
segment
show?
Is letters.
They're
Let's
too expensive
letters.
And you can't get them anyway.
That's true. Oh,
no. Oh, no, Mason. Are you embarrassed?
No. I'm never embarrassed by anything.
Oh.
You should be embarrassed.
I am embarrassed, actually.
Bringing me on this show.
Classic one was letters, oh, letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a take away.
We're going to hear right now, we're going to do letters.
If you do want to reach the show, simply hashtag weeklyplanetpod on Twitter.
That's right.
Or weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com.
I'm going to look for a letter right now. Do you have any?
I do. I've got this from Braden Cooper who says, hashtag weeklyplanetpod, what is your favorite all-time video game? Is it Robocop awesome. 3 on the Amiga? Is it Batman 80 Returns on the Amiga?
I really like the Monkey Island series.
Mm.
Pointed because I've always loved video games, but I've always been terrible at video games.
What if they rebooted Monkey Island as a first-person shooter?
Oh, yeah, get into that, yeah, totally.
Alien Worlds?
Yeah, mm-hmm, sure.
Cool,
okay. Yeah.
What do you think about one of the Monkey Islands was in a storybook or an imagination or whatever? Did you like that?
Yeah, I did like that.
Okay.
What do you reckon about that?
I don't know. I don't care. So
I'm going to include Monkey Island 1 and 2 because they sort of work as a...
Yeah.
But I think 2 is... Because I think, like, one sets up a really interesting world. I think two is probably better for a bunch of reasons. It's got a sort of it was more user friendly, and I think it was technically a better game, but like it, and it had a bigger world, and it also had it was like one of the first games that sort of had like a. Like an interactive music system where it would like
Ben Russell would have.
Yeah, exactly. Like this is very standard now.
Yeah.
But it had like a through line of music. But when you went to different areas, it would like seamlessly like segue into a new kind of thing. Like depending on the area you went to, and that was it's called the Scum music system.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
I like that because now that's like you come across a village of bandits or whatever, and then the music. Kicks in. You know
exactly,
I mean?
Uncommon, but it was like, a whole brand new thing. Any kind of point and click. I've actually just bought, I don't have it yet because I bought the physical copy, a game called Kentucky Route Zero, which is like a point and click, a surreal point and click.
Did you get it on Limited Run Games?
No, I got it on a website.
Oh,
yeah,
for the Amiga?
The Switch.
Very good.
I'm going to get a physical copy.
Yeah, I prefer the physical copies.
But yeah, I would
copies.
Say Monkey Island games just because they're fun and they're funny.
Did it inform your entire personality?
Yes.
That's what I wanted.
That's why I have this peg leg.
Just with you.
Yeah.
He's got two legs and
a peg leg.
And a peg leg.
What is your favorite game of
all
time?
Well, when I really got back into video games hardcore,
go on,
was the PlayStation 2 era. But the game that I played the most as a kid was the game Digger, which is like Dig Dug. It's like a knockoff, like IBM. And I still play it. Every now and then I'll open the browser and just be like, how far can I get in this? Mm-hmm. Not that far. But I've figured out it's not about getting the diamonds or the gold. It's about just, you got to be an assassin. You got to kill all the bad guys as quickly as you can.
So it's like the friends you made along the way.
Exactly. Yeah. But more recently, PlayStation 2 era, Shadow of the Colossus, First Prince of Persia. Yeah. Mm-hmm. More recently, Ghost of Tsushima was probably the best game I've played in the last 10 years, probably.
Yeah.
I would say. But there's another bunch of games that I love Spider-Man. I love Jedi Fallen Order. I love most of the Arkham games. You know what I mean? I love Spider-Man 2, the video game. I like, what else? I love most of the Mario games on the Switch. I love.
What do you think about the Monkey Island games?
I've barely played them.
What do you think about Zack McCracken and the Alien Mindbenders?
I've never played it, but I bet it's shit.
What do you think about Maniac Mansion, the TV series?
There was an animated TV series?
Nope, it was a live-action TV series.
There was a live-action TV series?
It was barely connected. I just thought about it the other day. I'm like, I was like, Maniac Mansion's got a TV series, and I watched it. It was no good.
You didn't name the one of those that I did play, which was Sam and Max Hit the Road. Which I
what do you think
extensive.
Of Sam and Max Hit the Road?
Loved it, man.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Really funny stuff. Mm. Maybe it doesn't hold up. I played it on a 386, which was an old computer for the time when I played it. And
I reckon
boy,
it would still hold up, because that's the thing. They're still funny. They're not like...
No, that's true, yeah.
It's not like, you know, it wasn't... Monkey Island wasn't, you know, edgy topical humor at the time, I don't think, you know, so it's just pirate jokes.
I don't think I'd play any of those now because, like, I'd get frustrated. You go into a room and it's like... You got to get the knitting needle and you got to tie it to the flag and you got to get the flag and you got to put it... I'm just like, I don't want to do any of that. Just give me a gun.
Sure.
Give me a gun.
You want to speedrun all these games just with...
Yep, with a gun.
Yeah. In order to become a pirate, you've got to defeat the swordmaster with this gun. Bang, done. You've got to discover the treasure. I'm going to threaten you all with a gun until you tell me where it is.
What I did love about those games, though, was the jokes, genuinely. Funny, kind of Looney Tunes, wacky action. Mm-hmm. And you're always kind of moving forward because you want to see the next joke. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly.
And that's what kept it going. Yeah, so, So maybe I would play one of those again. They still do Sam and Max stuff every now and then. Oh, yeah. Jedi Knight's one of my favorite games. I recently played through that. Not Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy, and those ones. Dark Forces, Jedi Knight.
Oh,
but the other ones are still terrific. You got one there for me, Mason?
I'm looking right now.
I've got one here. It's from I Watch Stuff while you're looking and looking.
Okay, yep.
Hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. If Superman from Superman 2 kissed Tom Cruise from The Mummy, would Superman die or would Tom Cruise forget?
Oh, that's a great question. This is a real immovable force versus. Immovable object versus unstoppable force, yes.
For those who don't remember, Tom Cruise in the movie The Mummy gets the mummy powers and then he can kiss a woman to death. He can suck the life right out of them.
But Superman isn't a woman.
No, correct. Mm. That's a good point.
Yeah.
But Superman in Superman 2 has a kiss that can wipe memories. But does it only work on Lois Lane or does it work on Tom Cruise?
But also, is this Superman vulnerable to magic?
Mm.
Because the mummy presumably is magic
and
not a disease.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
I think he would kill Superman.
Yes.
But then he'd forget what happened. He'd just wake up and he's just holding the corpse of Superman.
Yeah, yeah.
And he'd be like, what have I done?
Yeah.
And then he'd run off into the night.
Huh. Yeah. Now that's a dark universe that I can get into. This is from... Nua Casper.
Hello, Nua Casper.
Says, people's predictions leave them disappointed when the actual thing comes out.
True.
In fandoms and movie culture, there's so much predicting and theorizing about what would happen in the next episode or movie in a series. For example, Loki and the theories between episodes. The fans make predictions and imagine none of those will happen, and with their expectations, they'll just get disappointed since it's not the same as theirs. I've seen this happen time again with Star Wars, Game of Thrones, and Westworld.
Yep.
What's your opinion on this and how it affects the fans' reactions to the actual content? Cheers from your one listener in Finland.
One listener?
Yeah.
I'd like to see
the stats
on that.
I love fan theories.
Me too.
But I mean,
I don't care if they don't come true generally.
No.
I only care if they just do a bad thing.
Sure, yeah.
Like with the Han thing. It's like you could have thought of one thing.
Yes, yeah.
As opposed to no thing.
Because, I mean, because in that instance... Presumably people went in with theories.
Yeah.
And regardless of whether you're proven wrong or right, having somebody answer the theory in one way or another says we care about.
That's right.
We care about you that you thought
about
it.
Yeah, we care about it.
It's like when Sherlock came back from the dead in the TV series Sherlock.
Yeah.
They never explained how he came back because they were like, even though like people had spent about a year thinking about it because they were like, We don't care. We don't care what you thought. We're just, it doesn't matter. But you're dumb for even wondering about
it. It's your fault, actually. Yeah. We're laughing at you.
Uh-huh.
I'm just looking at location statistics. I want to know how many people we've got in Finland.
Oh, we can get location statistics.
Here we go. All righty then. Oh, the dog's back at the door, Mason.
Here we go. Here we go.
Oh, Finland. Here we go. Found it. In the last 30 days, there has been 1,313 downloads.
I mean, that doesn't disprove what he said.
That's true. Could have been all him.
Could have been just one episode.
So, yeah, just wanted to get ahead of that. That's where we're at. There we go. What else, Mason?
Good question, James.
But, no, I think it does. And I think some people, it does happen, criticize us for doing fan theories and stuff. But I do it because I like it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the,
And if Doctor Strange doesn't turn up, I'm not like, I'm like, that's fine. Whatever.
Well, I'm like, meh, 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 meh.
I'm like that too.
I loved it, like, I said. This was great, what I say. This is from Chris from Texas.
Yeehaw!
Been a listener of the podcast for a while, and this is the first time I've liked anything enough to write a fan letter.
Wow!
That's nice. Unless he's talking about the current episode. Like, he's like, I've listened to 400 episodes of this, and this is the first episode where I'm like, I like this one.
This one was all right.
My question was, have you ever done a podcast on best or favourite origin stories? We haven't, but I'd like to do that. We should rank all the origin
stories. Best or favourite?
Oh, we should rank all the MCU origin stories.
You mean from the movies?
Yes.
Yeah, sure, why not? I'll definitely do that.
Great. Nice. Anyways, thanks for giving me something to look forward to every week. Hope all is well on your side of the planet. It's not, but we're getting
It's bad. It's all locked down all the time. Not for Melbourne for some reason, but every other state has massive COVID outbreaks.
Melbourne, next week, baby.
That's right.
Probably.
It's going to happen. And it's interesting because all the states are fighting and everybody's being like, they shouldn't lock down. Everybody should open up everything all the time. What else? Some people are saying that. But the reason that all this is happening is because the Prime Minister fucked up the COVID vaccines.
Sure did.
He should have ordered them and he didn't.
And he didn't.
And now we don't have any.
Don't have any.
And we're like 5% of the population has been vaccinated.
Yeah.
And it's just a real shit show over here at the moment. Anyway, that's why I like being in multiple WhatsApp groups of people complaining about how is this communism. It's really good. That's what comes to my phone literally all fucking day.
You know, you can leave those groups. You can leave the WhatsApp groups.
I can't, Mason.
Oh, yeah, no, that's true. You can't.
I have to stick it out there for my man Dan.
Yeah,
the guy who runs the state. Do you know what I mean?
You mean dictator Dan?
That's who I meant.
Whoa. Oh, my good.
Anyways, anything else or should we wrap it
let's
up?
Let's have a look. This is from John. He says, hey,
John.
Guys. Yeah, John, that's right.
John.
From Minnesota, USA.
Hey.
Hey, guys, I've been listening to you for over 2 years now and you've both gotten me through some hard times. I'm also a proud member of your subscription service.
Thank you very much.
And feel you must read this out on the pod, but if not, no worries.
Well,
I love a. No worries if not.
Yeah,
I'll do one of those.
That's how you sneak it through, isn't it, Mason?
This last year has been quite a struggle for me, but I graduated by the seat of my pants and just got accepted into my dream college.
Fuck yeah!
Most thank you for helping them achieve their dreams, but I'd like to thank you for helping distract me from my dreams just long enough to build some dramatic tension. My greatest dream is to become a writer, and I'm now on my way. And in tribute to both, I plan to put a man named Mason and a goat in every story I publish.
Hells yeah!
Yeah,
Mason and the goat.
That's right.
First book.
Must be called that. Cannot contain any references to Mason or a goat.
No.
People will be like, what does it mean?
Is it a metaphor? No.
No.
It's a thing that...
You got to remember, metaphors are for cowards.
Exactly. You follow the Garth Marenghi Twitter?
No, but
it's really
good.
It's just clips of the show. And
nice, great.
I just get stuck in it every few days.
Nice.
Yeah. Speaking of Big Sandwich, this week for Time Capsule, it's already out. We look at the year 1954 for pop culture. There's some interesting stuff there. You might be like, 1954, whatever. Uh-huh. No, you whatever. There's some interesting stuff there.
Yeah.
And this week we're going to do a movie commentary for next Sunday. We haven't decided what it is yet. So if you've got any ideas,
let us know. Because, I mean, last time we did Indiana Jones adventure that he went on.
First sexy
on film,
adventure. Uninjured.
But not chronologically.
No, uninjured.
Would have gone on more adventures before that.
In the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles,
that's
the TV
right.
series.
Yeah.
And Temple of Doom, which is also a prequel.
That's correct. That's what the first one's called.
Yeah, that's right.
But maybe we could do Temple of Doom, but maybe we'll do something else.
Happy to do whatever.
We'll do
if people got some ideas.
Yeah. Let us know.
I'd love to do it.
I mean, ideally if you subscribe to Big Sandwich.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, yeah, but also you could like just suggest stuff.
Unless you have a great idea. And you're like, you could be like, I'm not subscribed, but here's a great idea. And we'll be like, damn.
I can't and I will not.
Cannot argue with that.
Yeah. Anything else?
That's everything. I think that's every email we received.
Wow.
Just kidding. We received a bunch, but we'll get to them another time.
Let's wrap up the show then.
Yeah, let's do it. Folks, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for liking the show. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for telling a friend or lying to a friend
to get to listen to
the show.
Yeah,
thank you for leaving a 5-star review. James, you got one right there?
Got a couple right here, Mason. Nice. This is from Kev, Indiana. It says, Clockwork. This is a Bruin podcast about two Australian men who are supposedly childhood friends, but often seems like they met in a Robin Hood group on DeviantArt. Would give more than a 5 stars, but co-workers have started talking about the guy who spontaneously says Westworld every Monday morning around 9 a.m. Otherwise, a great podcast. Love it. Thanks for all you do. It's 5 stars just in-app. Got another one here from the fifth Melvin, who says, up the duff? Never heard that figure of speech in my life. Please have Claire on the podcast more. I've been a fan since the very beginning. Keep up the good work. I appreciate every bit of it. If you are a fan of Claire, which I know I am, despite our impending divorce because of our son Nick Mason who's driving us apart, she has a new podcast. It's called Taunts.
Yeah.
She's actually her latest episode, which should be out very soon. It's out. If it's not out now, it will be soon. It's with Jess Perkins.
Great.
But she's got two other episodes there, which are also terrific.
Interesting she's gone with her maiden name there.
Yeah.
And not Sunday Movies.
That's right, exactly.
Your real name.
Well, she decided not to change her name. And I kicked up a big stink. Mm. But then I realised that changing her name, I mean, I don't care at all.
And also it's less work if you don't.
Yeah, and if somebody said to me, can you change your name, I'd be like, oh.
Have
you ever done any paperwork?
No.
It's the worst.
The job I have currently is specifically so I don't have to do paperwork.
Yeah, teaching is a lot of paperwork, and now I don't do as much paperwork. It's great. I don't do any of that teaching paperwork anymore.
I can't read anymore. Good. I lost the ability to read, and I'm loving it.
But you know what? You love to listen, and I think that's important.
That's true, isn't it?
Anyway, what are you up to? What are you doing?
Oh, folks, if you want to contact us, you can go to Weekly Planet Pod at Facebook, at Gmail, at Twitter, at Bandcamp. You can go to planetbroadcasting.com. You can sign up to the newsletter from the great Rob Collings. He's Raw Collings on Twitter. He's The Weekly Planet on Twitter. On Twitter,
yes.
I am Wikipedia Brown. And on Instagram, I'm Nick Maso, NickMaseau. James, you're Mr. Sunday Movies.
Everywhere.
You can also go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group. You can sign up there. There's like 15,000 people and you can have a good times chats.
A great time.
Also the Reddit group. There's a Reddit group as well.
There is.
Subreddit.
And there's a Discord.
Whatever that is.
I don't know what it is, but it's doing it.
Whatever that
I'm
is.
Not in there.
No, I'm a big fan of whatever it is. The people having a chat, which is nice.
That's right.
Folks, if you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies. Chuck in a buck. We would love that. We'd appreciate it. Any money you can spare.
Yep.
Tough times, but do whatever you want. Just listen to the podcast. We love having people. We love 1,313 downloads in Finland. That's what we love. That's what we're all about. We're not about the money. We're about the downloads in Finland.
We're about the respect.
Yeah. So if you can somehow VPN to Finland and download it through Finland so we all see a massive jump in listeners in Finland, that would be great for us. And a real kick in the teeth from that guy who said we only have one listener in Finland.
And also remember, if you're doing this, this is a bit we're never going to come back to.
We're never going to check. You might do a thing where you do an elaborate thing where you get us a million downloads.
Your friends are involved.
Million downloads in Finland. We're not going to check. So, I mean, it'll be a waste of your time. It's a waste of my time even saying this, really.
Yes, yes, yes.
But we're just filling time till the end.
We just want to get over an hour 30.
We did it.
Hopefully.
Goodbye, everyone. Just kidding. You can also go to BigSandwich.co, sign up there. $9 dues per month. We get to give you all sorts of bonus stuff, including the commentaries, which we'll get to another one this week. It's going to be great.
That's right.
Next
week, we don't know. Maybe that Origins
thing.
That's
right. T-shirts on tpublic.com.
Oh, yeah.
Get an operating and 40% T-shirt.
Oh, yeah. It's very apt.
Thank you to The Brute and The Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes. Next week, Black Widow? Something.
No, week after.
Oh.
We are seeing Black Widow this week.
That's
can we tell people that? Who gives a shit? We are. But we can't. Oh, we can talk about it, but we won't until it's out in the world.
That's true, yeah.
So we'll wait a week.
Yeah. Some would call us heroes for that.
Yeah. Well, in a way, Origins makes sense because this is sort of a Black Widow origin movie in a way, isn't it?
Oh, true.
Or an in-betweenquel.
Yeah. Like best in-betweenquels.
Exactly. It's like the way that Temple of Doom is in between the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles and First Indiana Jones Adventure Boy.
Very true.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
Grab that gem, you guys. We will see you next week.
And thank you, Collings, for the edit.
Yeah.
And thank you to me, who hopefully this recorded. Wouldn't it be good if it did?
It would be bloody good.
All right. Let's get out of here.
All right.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want.
It's up to you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.